نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, from Adam, and created from Adam, from it, its mate, Eve, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you, a guardian over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Continuing with our serious purification of the souls, wherewith the book of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, Riyad al-Salihin, in the chapter in the book Kitab al-Umur al-Manhiyun anha, the book of the affairs that have been prohibited. And we come to the chapter where Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah says, al-hathu ala tathabbuti fima yaquluhu wa yahkihi. Chapter, the encouragement to check out that which you say and that which you narrate, or that which one says or that which one narrates. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, from Surah Al-Isra, verse 36. And the meaning of this had come before, and don't say that which you have no knowledge of. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, from Surah Al-Qaf, verse number 18, where Allah says, and He doesn't make a statement except that He has the Raqibun Atid with Him. And this is that a person doesn't make a statement except that they have the two angels with them on their right and left, writing down the good deeds and their bad deeds. And just to remind us, here in Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, though this ayah is just informing us that those two angels are writing down everything that we say, this is to encourage us to say that which is correct. Or it will encourage us to say that which is correct, as we know that everything we say is going to be written down and we're going to be held accountable for it in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he says, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كفى بالمرء كذبا أن يحدث بكل ما سمع. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, it is sufficient for a person to be a liar if he narrates everything that he hears. It's sufficient for a person to be a liar to narrate everything that a person hears. So here we see from this hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being harsh in his warning us to stay away from narrating or mimicking or repeating everything that we hear, and to check out some of the things that we hear or everything that we hear, to make sure that if we want to pass something on, that we pass on that which is correct and we leave alone that which is falsehood. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is meaning when he tells us it is sufficient for a person to be a liar to report everything that he hears, because whatever you hear the truth and sometimes you hear lies, and if you just report everything, then that means you're going to report some truth and some lies, and this will make you a liar. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning us against, from saying, from repeating or narrating everything that we hear. And Imam Malik rahimahullah, he used to say, which means that no one will be a scholar if he narrates everything that he hears. No person will be a scholar to narrate everything that he hears. And here Imam Malik rahimahullah, he's encouraging us and you all that when you listen or when you learn from your teachers, that you're not going to take every single thing from them, but that you're going to take from them that which is correct and that which is from Islam, and then that's what you're going to pass on to the people who come after you. And that's what you pass on to the people that come after you. And this is a hint at staying away from blindly following anyone. And this is a hint at staying away from blindly following anyone. And we mentioned that blind following is to follow someone who has no evidence from the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, do this or say that, or don't do this and don't do that, and you do it not because he has an ayat or a hadith with him, but because he says it and because of who he is. This is blind following, and this has been prohibited in Islam, as opposed to that which has been made compulsory upon us with following, and that is to follow the people who have the Quran and the Sunnah, to follow them in that which they brought from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then the rest of the extra speech that might be added in there, some of it might be okay as opposed to others, and you want to take that which is okay and leave alone that which isn't by checking it out. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he brings the next hadith. عن سمرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حدث عني بحديث يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكاذبين أو كاذبين. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, where سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever narrates a hadith on me and he sees that it is a lie, then he is one of the two liars. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that if we narrate a hadith on him that we know it hasn't been authentically reported on him, then we're lying on him just like the one who invented the lie. And we will be in the company of all of the liars on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who first invented the lie on him alayhi salatu wasalam, and then everyone that carried that lie on, we would be considered among them if we saw that the hadith was not authentically reported on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we continue to pass it on without warning the people of it. And here Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, what he's doing is he's showing us in the beginning that in general we have to check out that which we hear and not to narrate and report everything that we hear, and more specifically that which we have heard from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We have to check it out to make sure that what we hear from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been authentically reported on him, and not to narrate other than that, except that we explain to the people that this has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this ends the chapter here and of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. I was a little amazed as I didn't find in the explanation that they made motion to it. In Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he didn't make motion to it, directly, and that is that this is the chapter of those things that are prohibited. And then he titled it chapter The Encouragement of Checking Things Out. And when we see the chapter The Encouragement of Checking Out What You Say and What You Narrate, we don't see a direct prohibition right there. But we saw from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the prohibition is of narrating and saying that which you have not checked out yet. This is what the prohibition comes from. So the encouragement to do one thing is also the prohibition from doing the opposite of that, as Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah is showing us, as we see from the hadith he uses, inshaAllah ta'ala. Imam Muslim, and this is extra, that's not from the chapter of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he wrote his book, and he wrote the introduction to Sahih Muslim with a similar chapter as Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah brings right here, and that is to warn the people from narrating unauthentic hadith to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without explaining it to the people, as this is haram in Islam, is prohibited to narrate on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except that which has been authentically reported to him. And if it's otherwise, that it is compulsory on us to explain to the people that this has not been authentically reported to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In Imam Muslim, he uses the ayah from Suratul Hujurat. And then he brings other statements of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and then other statements of the ulama rahimahumullah. And this is the ayah, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu wa fi qira'a fatathabbatu an tusibu qawman bijahala fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. O you who believe, if a fasiq, if a corrupt person comes to you with some news, then clarify it, then verify it, check it out, so that you don't act upon ignorance, so you don't harm the people with the ignorance, and then later on you're regretful for what you did. Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, he began his Sahih Muslim off with the introduction explaining to us the importance of checking out the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, as this is the explanation of the Quran and the completion of our deen. And is that which would keep us on the Siratul Mustaqim. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the one who explained the Quran. And this explanation has come in the Sunnah. And that this Sunnah has been preserved just as the Quran. As we have mentioned before, that the Quran, when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun, indeed we are the ones who sent down this revelation, the Quran, and indeed we are the preservers of it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He preserved the Quran in its words, and He preserved the Quran in its recitation, the pronunciation, and He preserved the meaning of the Quran. And the meaning of the Quran is from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this is from the explanation or from the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, wa anzalna ilayka dhikr litubayyana lin-nasi ma nuzila ilayhim. And we have revealed to you and we have sent down to you the dhikr, the revelation, the Quran, so that you, Muhammad, could explain to humanity what has been revealed to them. This explanation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's the Sunnah. And this Sunnah was preserved by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as He preserved His Quran, as this is the explanation of the Quran. This Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. And it's important for us to know that which is actually from the Sunnah from that which isn't, as we have to hold fast to this Sunnah if we want to be guided and never to go astray, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, taraktu fikum shay'aini, the meaning of the hadith. And I'm forgetting the exact wording because there's so many narrations of this hadith. where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is from the Muwatta of Imam Malik, and other than the Muwatta of Imam Malik, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, which means, I have left you with two things. If you hold fast to them, you will never ever go astray, the Book of Allah and my Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith, he's showing us the two things that we need to hold fast to if we're never going to go astray, and that's the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That which has been authentically reported to him, this is his Sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That which has not been authentically reported to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, this isn't from his Sunnah. And the holding fast to it isn't going to benefit us. That which is going to benefit us is the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this chapter here that Imam An-Nawi rahimahullah is bringing us, it's very, very important. As it's teaching us to hold fast to that which has been authentically reported to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this would keep us free from deviance. As you find the people who have deviated in this deen, that many of them have deviated because of their lack of following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, as the people they just call that, they just claim as if they're following the Quran. And many hadith, they reject it or they don't practice it in their lives as they don't see it to be, as they said, important. As one of those so-called people of knowledge, he had the audacity to tell the people some affairs are important and other ones are less important. Who is the one to divide the Book of Allah up into important issues and issues that aren't important? Who's the one that's going to divide the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ up into major Sunnah and minor Sunnahs? Did the Messenger of Allah ﷺ do that? And here we are, we can just talk to the people as if this is major and that's minor. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He will make the issue serious if it's major, and He will advise us whatever to decide which degree of importance each issue is. And that we're not going to decide, as we have decided nowadays, Bosnia is more important than straightening the roads in the masjid, for example. Or the issue of the fighting in wherever else might be more from Somalia might be more important than growing your beard. Akhi, how can you tell the brother to grow his beard, people fighting in Somalia or somewhere? Akhi, who is the one to decide what issue is important in Islam and what issue isn't, other than Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam? If we don't pay attention to this issue of checking out what comes to us, we would fall into that which the people have fallen into. As you see, the people, they leave off some hadith and they practice others. And this is out of their stupidity. As the hadith, the people who brought us those hadith, that's the same people who brought us those hadith. And I used to give the example, and I give the example that the ulama used to give. How can you deny that Allah comes down to the sama' dunya, the lowest heaven, in the last third of the night? Because it doesn't make sense to you. How can you deny that when you don't deny that we make dhuhr for raka'at? And this is how the ulama, they used to bring the proof to the deviants to show the stupidity that they're upon. How do you follow this hadith? Dhuhr is four raka'ats. And there's no ayah to say, establish dhuhr four raka'ats. It says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to establish the salah. How do we know that we establish dhuhr after the sun begins to decline from its zenith? In the masjid, in jama'ah, the imam leading the jama'ah, four raka'ats, silently. Where do you know that from? From the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did you accept that when the same people in the chain, they brought you other hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you accept this and then you reject that? What kind of reasoning are you using? And this is sometimes, this is what we need to do to show the people how clearly deviant they are. When they say Shaytan has put his hands in the hadith, they mean all of the hadith that they practice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved this deen. And He preserved the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And the ulama, past and present, have always known that which has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from that which hasn't. as Allah commands us and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to check it out. The ulama have checked it out. And they've told us what is authentic and what isn't. And when we learn Islam, we're always keen, has that all been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? If it was, if it has been, then we practice in it. If it hasn't, then we let it go. But this is important for us, this point, to understand so that we don't fall into choosing what hadith we want to practice and what hadith we don't want to practice. What part of Islam we want to practice and what part we don't want to practice. We've been commanded to check out what comes to us. When we check it out, we're going to follow that which has been, that which is correct, and we're going to leave off that which isn't correct. And this is the importance of checking out what we hear, so that we can make sure that what we say and what we narrate to the people is correct. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has prohibited us from saying that which we know not, or narrating that which we know not, and we can only narrate that which we know. This is the lesson that I wanted to present today. And I know that it's kind of short, I wasn't feeling too good, but I said at least we can cover a little bit, inshallah ta'ala. And hopefully that this will be sufficient for us, as this is guidance from the Book of Allah and guidance from the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And it's upon us to practice every ayah and every hadith to the best of our ability. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in following the Quran and the Sunnah and trying to purify our souls. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Yes. You have to explain what you mean by istinas. Exactly. The brother is saying that some of the ulama, they narrate hadith that are daif, and they say that they're only narrating it to clarify a point. Yeah, you have to be a little more clearer. I don't.
Yeah, sometimes they go for virgin too. I say this for virgin. Yeah, like sometimes you say the hadith that was real famous.
No, I'll explain the issue of the daif hadith, but I want to make clear from what the brother is saying, inshallah. To clear up what point? Okay. Let me try to start from the beginning, inshallah, and we'll see if we cover that. It's clear from the ayat and from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the position of the ulama, which is correct as it's based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is that al-hadith al-da'if la yu'mal bihi mutlaqan, that the weak hadith is not used at all. That the weak hadith is not used at all, meaning that nothing in Islam is based on a weak hadith. Nothing. No belief, no action, and no statement is based on a da'if hadith. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to check out what comes to us, and to accept that which is correct, that which is authentic, and to leave off other than that. And this is what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanding us to do. Some of the ulama, they make conditions to use these weak hadith. And if you ever look at their conditions are telling you, you can't use the weak hadith. The hadith that are unauthentically reported of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they say, firstly, the point has to be established already in Islam. That means that that point has to be based on the book of Allah. That belief or that statement or that action has to stem from an ayah or authentic hadith. Okay, what do you need the da'if one for? That's the first point. The second point, they say, it can't be an extremely weak hadith, extremely da'if hadith. Okay, if you hear a hadith, how do you know if it's extremely da'if or not? You don't know. So you can't even use it anyway, because you won't even be able to determine, is it extremely da'if or not? And many of the ulama who try to use these da'if hadith, they aren't the ulama of hadith, who are able to determine, is the hadith extremely da'if or just a little bit of da'if. The third condition, they say, it can't establish any verdict in Islam. Meaning it can't establish that something is compulsory, or that something is recommended, or that something is haram, or that something is makruh. It can't establish that. It can't be used in loose terms. It can't be used in fiqh issues, like, to establish something. It can be only used in fadail al-a'mal. And they say, on the affairs of encouragement, it can only be that which encourages you to do something already from Islam. Okay, if you drop off all of the da'if hadith, don't we have that which encourages you to make salat already and that which is authentic? The authentic is sufficient, because this is the deen for sure. This is the deen, no doubt about it, that which has come to us by authentic means. So this issue of using the da'if hadith, you see from the conditions, they're actually saying you don't use it, because nothing's going to fit those. It has to fit all three of those conditions. And if it ever fits the first condition of being based, it has the da'if hadith is only going to encourage you to do that which has already been established from the Book of Allah or the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there was no need from that thing in the first place. And the ulama, they say, when you mention the hadith, you have to clarify. That hadith has not been authentically reported on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that reminds me that other ulama, they put that as a condition also. That the person has to believe sincerely in his heart that it has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I forgot that point. That it has not been authentically reported on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can you even do something, say something, believe in something, if you are believing truly and sincerely, this is not from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? It's like not doing it. It's like, this is what we mean of Ashadu Anna Muhammad Rasulullah, meaning we're going to do that which comes from the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. If someone's going to, ya rahmukallah, say that I'm certain this is not from the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, what encouragement is it for you to do it in the first place? At best, the ulama, and I hope that this is what you mean from isti'nas, that the ulama, they use it and they tell you it's da'if, because if you heard it, just the hearing of it is going to encourage you to practice the Islam that you already know from the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alright, we know the virtues of being in the first row in the masjid, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had encouraged us. If I say there is a weak hadith, a hadith that has not been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that says, whoever is in the first row for 2 days straight, he will get the highest place in Jannah. Who will miss the first row for 2 days straight? And just to hear it, you know it's like an encouragement when you hear it. Then I say that has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But still it's kind of in your mind like, that first row. And anyway, if you do it, you would fall into that which has already been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. Or some of the ulama, they use it. You have different narrations in the hadith. Alright, the hadith is establishing a particular thing. Reading Ayatul Kursi, for example, after the five salat, with no reward attached to it. Like, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, I advise you to read Ayatul Qursi. This is an example, not a hadith. I advise you to read Ayatul Qursi after the five salat. This would be authentic. Then you would have another narration that's not authentic. Whoever reads Ayatul Qursi after the five salat will enter into Jannah. All right, you have the first was authentic, encouraging you to do something. That other one that's not authentic, it shows the reward of doing that authentic thing that didn't have a reward mentioned to it. The ulama, they do this sometimes to kind of encourage you to do that thing even more. But they're saying at the same time, I'm not saying this is the reward, because it hasn't been authentically reported on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's just kind of encouraging you to do that. This is what some of the ulama do, but it's really kind of a philosophy, and Allah, philosophy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, as the deen is the Quran and the Sunnah, that which has been authentically reported on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam, and not that which is daif. And this is the position of the people who are correct, the people who follow the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that we only accept that which has been authentically reported to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as this which we find commanded of us in the book and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And we have to go back to the book of Allah and His sunnah sallallahu alayhi, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we differ on the issues. As some people say, no, I see that it's okay to use daif hadith. The next person say, well, I don't see it's daif. I don't see it's okay. Then Allah commands us, فَإِن تَنَعَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah and His Messenger. If we take this issue of daif hadith back to Allah and His Messenger, we would find ourselves in Surah Al-Hujurat with Allah's statement, فَإِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If a corrupt person comes to you with some news, then verify it. Meaning, if you think that this news is coming from a chain that's not authentically reported, don't work by it so that you don't harm the people by that ignorance and then feel regretful later. This is in general, how much more so with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, as he says, whoever narrates a hadith on me, and he sees that it's a lie, he's one of the liars for narrating that hadith. So this just shows that it's compulsory for us to explain that if it's not authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to tell the people this has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we have to check out that which comes to us. And in general, this goes all the way down the line, as we were dealing yesterday in our fiqh class, that even the statements of the ulama, we have to listen to what the ulama say and to follow that which is correct. Because there's no alim from the ulama, and there's no person from among the people that everything he says is correct. All of us, we're human beings, we're right sometimes and we're wrong sometimes. And the people should only take from us that which is right. And the only way that they can know what comes from us is right is that it's in accordance with the book of Allah, the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which is wrong, to leave it. And the only way that they're going to know that it's wrong is that it's in opposition to the book of Allah or the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and not that the person has the mind to say, oh, that sounds good, it's right. No, that don't sound right. No, we don't use our own intellect to decide what's correct in Islam and what isn't. But we use the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And I was reminding the brothers yesterday, and we can remind ourselves as we're trying to check out what comes to us to make sure that we only follow that which is correct, that we still have to have some type of etiquette with our ulama, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to obey the ulama. Allah has commanded us to ask the ulama when we don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us not to have any hatred in our heart for the people who came before us, who believed, and definitely among them are the ulama, who were the strongest people in faith, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, that the people who really fear Allah are the ulama. The people who really fear Allah are the ulama. So even if we don't accept something from a per, from a particular alim, that we may differ in a position that he has, or so on and so forth. But we love all of the ulama of the sunnah, we love the ulama. And that doesn't mean that we accept every single thing that they say, but it means that we love them, and we respect them, and we appreciate that which they brought to us from this deen, and helping us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on clarity and proper guidance. But that if they give us something that is not in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah mistakenly, and usually if a scholar gives us something that is in opposition to the Quran and the Sunnah, then it is mistakenly. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam hints at that, as he says, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكَمْ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذَا أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. If the hakim, if the one who's trying to get a verdict in Islam, if he's correct, he gets two rewards. And if he's wrong, then he gets one reward. One reward because he sincerely tried to bring the truth to the people. And that it just wasn't that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just didn't bless him with the success of actually being correct. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hinting to us that even if he makes a mistake, that he's going to be rewarded for it. And it's not from us to follow him in his mistake, because he made a mistake, even though he was a alim. And this is as Imam Shafi rahimahullah used to say, if you ever find any of my statements in opposition to the Quran and the Sunnah, know I lost my mind when I said that. And the Quran and the Sunnah have more right to be followed. And this is just an example of the statements of the ulama, or as they used to say, if the hadith is authentic, then that's my madhhab. Meaning, if I said something and you have a hadith that's authentic against what I said, then the hadith is really my position. And I think we are given an example before of Imam Malik rahimahullah, when the people asked him a question, he gave a verdict. And then someone brought him a hadith in opposition to his verdict. And then the student, he said, I saw my Sheikh Imam Malik later on, when he was asked that same question, he gave the different answer. The answer that was in accordance with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is for the issues that they found out about. And the issues that they didn't find out about, if they would have, they would have followed the rahimahumullah. Because these were the ulama of Islam, and perfection is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillah. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll continue with Riyad al-Salihin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The brothers in Atlantic City, I don't want you to feel that you're left out, but I usually just run the lesson and end it, and if you have any questions, just feel free to butt in and ask your questions whenever you have them. Otherwise, I just give the lesson and then that's it. We say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We'll see everyone next week, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
How you doing, brother, man?
Alhamdulillah, bi khair. How are the brothers there?
Alhamdulillah. A couple of brothers here have a couple of questions, for sure.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, brother, man.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inshallah, I'll make this quick. Two questions. One is the hadith in reference to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a companion on the mount when they came past the graveyard and they heard the two. And here are the two people, they're being tormented, in reference to one with urine on the clothes and the other one with carrying tails.
Yes.
He put the weed or whatever was on the grave and said, inshallah, that so long as this is green, that they will be relieved from the torment.
Yes.
Can this hadith be applied in every situation when people go to the graveyard or janazah?
I don't remember right now. I have to review that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
Okay. The other question is a reference to no jama'ah after jama'ah. In the hadith, in reference to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came back to Medina and he went to the masjid and asked that they made the salah, and they said yes. And he went, he left the masjid and went home, and he assembled his family and made the salah. Then it's the other hadith where someone have said that a man came in the masjid to make salah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will give this man sadaqa? Which is, what do we do? Is it jama'at after jama'at, or is it no jama'at after jama'at?
You're asking if you establish the jama'ah in the masjid, the salah, the masjid that has a permanent imam there. You're asking if that imam leads the Muslims in the salah. Is there another jama'ah to be established after that jama'ah with the imam? That's what you're asking?
No, without the imam.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is there another jama'ah after the imam?
Yeah, now.
No. And this issue would need more explanation, and we had explained it before in one of our classes. So I don't know if I could refer you to that or have the brothers refer you to that tape where we talked about it in a little more detail that would make it more clearer than a simple yes or no. But let me try to make the statement of Hassan al-Basri among the tabi'een, rahimahullah. Let me try to make his statement a clarification of this, inshallah. And that's his statement, ما كان أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخلوا المسجد ووجدوا الناس قد صلوا صلوا فرادا. That the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they entered a masjid and they found that the people had already made salat in that masjid, then they would make salat individually. This is the statement of Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, that this was the practice of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's among the big tabi'een. He met about 80 or more of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he said that this was their practice. And that we follow the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the way that they practiced Islam. And for that we see that there's no second jama'ah after the jama'ah with the permanent imam in the masjid. And this was the position of the four madhabs of the past before the ulama of the later generations changed that until making as many jama'ahs as you like. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair.
Wa iyaka. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.